All right, so since we're hoping to get out of here before lunchtime, let's go ahead and just start with our main idea. Just jump right in. So our big idea, we basically just sang, okay? Do you remember what you just sang? Walk worthy, right? Okay, how do you walk worthy? What did it say? Give your heart to Christ, live always bearing fruit. That's basically what the main idea is today. All right, our main idea is going to be that we must abide in Christ to be fruitful and to obtain the rewards of our salvation. Okay, now really this unit here, it should be verse 1 through 17, but we're not going to make it through 17 verses today. We're gonna just cut it down and focus on the first part, maybe get to verse 11, because that's really, I can't really cut it apart. But the good news is, for me, the pastor said in 2 weeks that I can teach again. So we're going to finish it then, all right? But let's see if we can go ahead and get this key part here. Before we read it, let me just introduce what we're reading here. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John already, you already know that about a third of the Gospel of John is about the Passion Week, right? You know, that the last week before Jesus was crucified. A third of the book is all about that. So the point of the story we're at here, chapter 13, 14, talking about the upper room, what happened before going to the garden. Well, if you look at chapter 14, the last sentence of chapter 14 says, "Rise, let us go from here." All right, so they're getting up from the table after the Last Supper, and they're walking toward what? What are they walking toward? Doesn't say, but you might know. All right, good. They're walking toward the garden, right? That they're going to get to the garden in chapter 16, I think, 16 or 17. That they get there, but this is along the road, okay? So now imagine imagine what Jesus is thinking right now, okay? He's been teaching his disciples for 3 years. He's been trying to communicate them the depth of the truth that they need. He's trying to give them all that they need to survive once he's gone. Now he just told them, chapter 14 is all about how I'm going to leave, but the Spirit is going to be here, right? So what do you need? You need me, is what Jesus is saying. I'm going to leave, but you still need me. I'm going to go. He told them that a lot of times, but they didn't get it, right? Okay, now he knows he's on the verge of being taken from them, right? So imagine, this is like a parent. Imagine a parent is going to leave his kids home for the first time by themselves, right? What is the parent going to do? Okay, I've been preparing you for this. You should be ready. But just in case, here's where the emergency numbers are. Here's what you do in case of an emergency, right? He goes and tells them the most important details again before he goes. And that's what Jesus is doing for his disciples. He's telling them what is most important before he goes. All right, so let's go ahead and read the words that Jesus tells his disciples. We're going to just read verse 1 through 11 together here. I think here is customary to stand while we read, right? So let's go ahead and stand and read the scripture together. And we're going to read just verses 1 through 11. It says, John chapter 15, verse 1. This is Jesus talking, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." You may be seated. All right, So I already gave it away, right? I already told you what the main idea was. It's not a surprise that Jesus says, you need to abide in me, abide in Christ, so that you'll be fruitful and obtain the reward of your salvation. All right? So let's go ahead and start with just making this metaphor that Jesus gives us really clear. There's three actors here, right? Who is the vine? Who is it?
Christ.
Christ, right? Who is the vine dresser? The Father, right? Who are the branches? This one's a little harder. Who are the branches?
Christ.
All right, good. It's people who say they believe in Christ, right? Now, this is important. Verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, the people he's talking to, right? Okay, so we know of the people that were there, the people that are left now are true Christians, right? But he does talk about here, for the people who don't abide in him, that these branches are going to be gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Okay? Does that sound like Christians to you? No. When Jesus uses, you're going to be thrown into the fire and burned, almost without exception in Scripture, that always is talking about eternal judgment. Okay? So Jesus is separating here, and he's saying, all right, here's this I am statement, right? Do you know in the book of John, there's seven different I ams, right? When Jesus goes through and he tells people, I'm the bread of life, chapter 6. He says, I'm the light of the world, chapter 8. I'm the door of the sheep and the good shepherd, chapter 10. I'm the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, chapter 14. And then now here in chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. So he starts with this I am statement. Now, all of these I am statements have to do with him bringing salvation, right? But this is really important here because remember, Jesus is talking to a people group. What people group are his disciples? What ethnicity? He's in the country of Israel. What ethnicity are these people? All right, these are Jews, right? Now, when you've been reading your Old Testament, you know about vines, right? If you're familiar with Isaiah and Ezekiel, they talk about vines a lot. In the Old Testament, who's the vine? Well, usually it's Israel. It's the country of Israel, this ethnic group that God has chosen for himself to be his representative. So when Jesus says to these people, he says, I am the true vine. You have to understand what these people are hearing. What Jesus is saying is, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're an Israelite. I'm the true vine. Because you know these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they were saying, we're Abraham's seed, we're Jews, we're Christians. But Jesus is saying, no. Just because you are Jewish, that doesn't make you in God. That does not connect you to true life. So Jesus says, now, I am the true vine. I'm the only way to have true spiritual life. Now, of course, he connects this clearly. My Father's the vine dresser. He's not leaving God out of this. You know that the book of John, that the Father and Jesus are one, right? So he's using this metaphor here and using that the Father, the one who puts people into Jesus's hand and doesn't let them out. In the same way here, Jesus is saying, in the same way God, the vine dresser, is going to take away every branch that was next to me but isn't alive, that has no fruit. And that's what he's saying, verse 1 and 2. My Father is going to take every fruitless branch away because it's not alive. It has no fruit. It's a branch by itself. That's what it was saying down in verse 6. So he said he's going to take away all of these branches that don't have life. Just like if you go find a stick on the ground and you put it in your house and you hope that it's going to give you fruit, it won't. Right? Maybe you're really good at farming and you can take a recently broken limb and graft it back in, but it needs a vine. It needs a trunk. It needs a stem where it's going to get its nutrients, where it gets its life, right? That's what Jesus is saying here. So now he says, so you're the branches. Now verse 3, he's comforting them, all right? He says, my Father's going to take them away, but you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Okay, now this is important because back in chapter 13, while Judas was still there, Jesus said, you are clean, but not all of you. And John editorially says, because he knew the one who would betray him. But now he's gone, so now Jesus says, you are clean. All right, you are Christians. All right, so if you're a Christian today, Jesus is talking to you too. All right, that all of us Christians, we are clean in the sense we know we're not going to get taken away because we're Christians, but we are going to get pruned. All right, that's the idea here, is that Jesus says you're going to get pruned. You're going to go through this difficult, these things that are hard for you, so that you're going to bear more fruit. So this is the metaphor that Jesus has set up, right? But now he gets to the most important part, all right? If you get anything today, get this part right here. Verse 4, this is the second part. The metaphor was first, so now we get into the command. There's only one command in this whole section, all right? This section we're looking at today. The one command is here in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. All right, so let's pause here for a second. Do you ever command someone to abide in you? No. That's kind of strange, right? Maybe if you're a parent, you might tell your kids, stay put, right? But that's about it. So what does this mean that Jesus is commanding you? Remember, this is the most important thing. He's about to leave, so he's telling his disciples the most important thing is abide in me. So what does that mean? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? He says, if we abide in him, he will abide in us. What does that mean here? Well, let's go ahead and simplify it. The idea here of abide is not talking about a place like telling your kid to stand still. Instead, this is talking about a relationship. All right, let's just change it for a second. Let's imagine a husband and a wife. You could have someone who is legally married and lives in the same house, who never talks to each other, who never does anything together, who doesn't care about each other, who doesn't participate in the same activities, and they don't help each other. What kind of marriage will they have? Very poor, right? If any at all, right? But imagine the opposite kind of marriage, where there's a husband and a wife, and they love each other. They sacrifice lots of other areas so they can spend time together. They regularly communicate. They love each other. They share interests together. They learn about each other. This is abiding. This is the relationship that Jesus is talking about, is that you spend time together. The simplest description I've ever heard of this is to say, you love what he loves and you hate what he hates. All right? That's what Jesus is calling you to do. He says, abide in me. How do we do this? Well, he tells you down below. He tells you, when my word abides in you. Like we said, it's not a place. It's not like you can go somewhere to abide in Jesus, but his words can abide in you. And what's going to happen if you abide in Christ? If you are building this relationship, if you are seeking to know him, if you're seeking to love him, if you're seeking to care about everything he cares about, what's going to happen? Well, then you're going to bear much fruit, right? Now remember, every Christian is going to bear fruit. But Jesus' concern here is not that his disciples are Christians. It's not that they might have fruit or they might not, because we know every Christian has fruit. But Jesus is saying, I want you to bear a lot of fruit. Why? Why does Jesus want them to bear a lot of fruit? Well, let's go ahead. We're going to cheat a little bit. And again, scoot down to the end of the passage here, the end of the section we're going to talk about. I'm going to cheat just a little bit and look here at verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you bear fruit, does that make you a Christian? No. Bearing fruit proves that you are a Christian, all right? Just the same way that if I take a green banana and paint it yellow, well, normally yellow proves that it's a ripe banana, but painting it does not make it ripe, right? Okay, so the same way here, doing these fruit, the thing that he tells you, having this fruit doesn't make you a Christian. Instead, Christians all have fruit. Now let's move that back a second. We just said, this is how God is glorified. All right, now if you've studied catechism before, what is the end of man? What is the purpose for which God created man? Do you know? All right, good, yeah, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? That's what the church around the world says is the main purpose of people. And what do we see here? If you bear fruit, you're going to glorify God, and then verse 11, you'll have joy, right? Okay, so Jesus is telling you your purpose in life right now, right? Abide in Christ. When you abide in him, you're going to have fruit. Now notice, did he command you, bear fruit? No, he didn't. Because that's not the focus. The focus of our Christian life is not our works. When we Christians talk to unbelievers and they say, oh, what religion are you? Sometimes that makes us a little uncomfortable, right? Because we say, well, it's not religion, it's a relationship, right? Because we want to differentiate that this isn't that I'm just doing stuff, doing good things, so I can get good things like religions around the world, right? Instead, for us as Christians, that this is the center of Christianity, right here. We have a relationship with our Creator. This is our goal, is to know him, to love him, to be close to him, right? So if this is our goal, this is also God's purpose for us. Remember, if you plant a vineyard, why do you plant a vineyard? To get grapes, right? If you have a vineyard and it doesn't have grapes, what are you going to do? Keep trying to fix it until you finally just give up if it has no fruit, right? Well, remember, that's actually the exact metaphor that Isaiah used, right? That it says, God tells Israel, he says, I've done every single thing possible to make you bear fruit, and you didn't. So you're going into exile, you're going to face this punishment, this trial. And now we're here, and Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And by knowing me, you're going to bear fruit. And so here, this is the key. Remember, what's our one command for today? Abide in me. All right? So let's go ahead and just, he explains this command more in verses 5 and 6. So he says, when you abide in me, I abide in you. That's the relationship aspect, right? It's you do it, and God will have that relationship with you. And let me clarify before we go on. This is different. This is different than being a fan, right? That maybe you have a sports team or some pop star that you like, and maybe on your social media, you follow them and you say, oh, I love this person. Do they love you? No, right? They might give shout outs. Oh, shout out to all my fans. I love all my fans, you're great. But they don't know you. They don't love you. But here, Jesus says, when you know me, I know you. You abide in me, I abide in you. You're going to have much fruit. You're going to glorify the Father. So here's the command, abide in me. What does that mean? Look at verse 6. He explains it. We can't do anything apart from him. We need to bear much fruit. Verse 6, if we don't abide, we're thrown away like a branch and wither, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. All right? So he's just reinforcing, you need me, is what Jesus says. Without me, you're dead. You need my life. So abide in me. Stay with me. Learn of me. Grow with me. Seek me. Love what I love and hate what I hate. If you do this, you'll live. You'll be alive. You'll grow and bear fruit. And what else? Well, let's go ahead and just look quickly at the last few seconds here. Just look at some of the rewards. We're going to cover some of these more completely next time. But let's just introduce all of these rewards here. Verse 7 tells us we're going to look at four things. What happens if you abide in Christ? Well, when you abide in Christ, you bear fruit. That happens if you're abiding in Christ. What happens when you bear fruit? Well, look at this, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What is this? Prayer, right? That God's going to hear your prayer. When you ask God, he's going to give you what you want. Now, let me, of course, put this little caveat in here, because some people are thinking, oh, I can hack the system, right? If I give God this little bit here, then I say, all right, pay up, God. You said you'll give me whatever I want now. Is that what it says? No, remember, this is a relationship. And what Jesus is saying is, when you know me, when you love what I love, then when you ask, you're going to ask what I love. And I'm going to give it to you. This is just like, imagine this teenager comes into his father and he says, all right, Dad, let's spend some quality time together. I got 2 minutes. All right? So he stands there for 2 minutes staring at each other. And then he says, all right, Dad, I spent time with you. Give me $50. I'm going to go out. Does that work? No. But imagine this. Imagine you have that teenage son that he goes and spends a weekend with his dad at a mission conference, and they're learning about missionaries and studying, and they're talking about everything they learn. And at the end of the conference, the son says, "Dad, I think I'm going to be a missionary to a Spanish-speaking country. Can you buy me this Spanish-speaking language software?" What do you think the dad's going to do? Of course, right? That the dad's going to say, "You love what I love. You have a relationship with me. Yes." And that's what Jesus is saying. When you love him and you love what he loves, he's listening to your prayer. He wants you to be praying what he loves because you love it too. If I go and ask him for a Ferrari, if I go ask him for things, that doesn't sound like the kind of thing that God loves. God doesn't love riches laid up on earth, right? God doesn't love us to just be wealthy and worldly successful here. He wants us to know him. So what's benefit number one? He hears your prayer, right? Number two, we already talked about, right? What happens when you bear much fruit? Well, it proves that you're a disciple, and it gives what to God? It gives him his glory, right? It fulfills your purpose in life, okay? If you're looking for purpose in life, if you're not a Christian, here it is. This is the purpose in life. Knowing God and glorifying him, enjoying him forever, all right? So you get, he'll hear your prayer. He gives you your purpose. What else? What else does he mention here? Verse 10, we're going to talk a lot more about this next time. Verse 9 and 10, he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. Abide in his love." So what are you getting here? What's the benefit here? There's love here, right? This is shared love. Remember, that goes back to the relationship. That abiding is the love. And here he's saying, as you abide in me, you know you have the Father's love on you. You know that you are loving the Father. You're keeping his commandments. So you've got these things. You've got your... just lost my spot. Sorry. There I am. Okay. So you've got your prayers being answered. You've got your purpose that God is giving you. You've got here his love. And then what's next? Well, his joy, right? His joy comes and fills you. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 11, that it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Are you happy today? Just ask that question. If when you walked in the door, we handed everybody a survey card and said, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being miserable and 10 being excited about life, where would you stand? Well, let me tell you, what Jesus just said is, I'm here to give you full joy. I'm here to give you number 10, okay? So if you don't have full 10, there may be other reasons, there may be other things going on, but you need to start here, right? That maybe the reason you don't have the joy right now is because you're not abiding, okay? So here's your benefits. You've got prayer, you've got purpose, you've got his love and his joy. All of these fruit are showing, right? You know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Okay, all of those things, that's the same kind of thing Jesus is talking about. Where does that start? Where do you get that? Where does it start? Tell me, what's the command? Abide, all right? So that's your homework, okay? You've got 2 weeks to do your homework, and then I'm going to check on it, all right? Here's what your homework is. Improve your abiding. Just like with Jesus, or just like a husband and wife, if they want to improve their relationship, they need to spend more time talking to each other. They need to pursue each other's interests. They need to fix problems that they may have. They need to leave behind the things that are wrong, and they need to pursue holiness together. They need to pursue pursue one another. So this week, these 2 weeks, that's what I want you to do, is pursue Jesus. How do you do that? Well, number one, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, here's the first place to start, is you start with God's word. I don't know how much time you are able to spend in scripture every day, but it should be some. Maybe you're really busy. You've got a ton of stuff going on. Maybe you only have 5 minutes in the whole day. That's okay. Start with that 5 minutes and latch onto something from scripture. Latch onto a verse from scripture. And then make it your goal at least 3 times during the day to think about that scripture. doesn't take any extra time, right? It might be when you're walking from one place to another. You might be driving. You might be going somewhere. You might be eating lunch by yourself. Maybe you're talking to somebody. Maybe you're talking with your family. But bring that truth back. That's what meditation is, all right? So start with God's truth, that you are making a point every day. Start off with God's word and find different times during the day to just bring whatever you latched onto, whatever you're meditating on, just bring it back to mind, okay? Make it a goal. Do it 3 times in a day, all right? Maybe you do that already. Maybe you can do it more. Abide in Christ, okay? What else do we do? Communication, right? Make sure you're praying. If you don't have prayer time right now, make sure you are spending time. Remember, this isn't, I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm not trying to say, oh, you need to do so long or do so much. That's between you and Jesus. Just like husbands and wives might have different amounts of communication at different stages in life, that's the same with Christ. We may have different amounts of prayer at different times, but we need it. And we should be seeking it. We should be loving it. We should be seeking to know God. So these 2 weeks, seek at least 3 times. That's just an arbitrary number that I'm throwing out, but it's a good starting place. I think most of us can agree that's a good minimum, okay? So for the next 2 weeks, seek for every day at least 3 times to be abiding in Christ, to be drawing close to Christ, because then we will bear much fruit. Then we're going to get all of these things he talked about. We're going to have the fruit that's growing, and that's going to be really key to some of the things we talk about next time, all right? So let's pray, and we'll finish here.